So the Bible reading that goes along with this is, how do I know what to do with you? Okay, right to go forward. Okay, right, cool, thank you. Just checking, making sure it works. Good, beautiful. Barnabas Fund, yes. So Barnabas Fund is basically, they hold a special week every year to, they call it the Suffering Church. This year's theme is 1 in 10. They ask churches to do a service dedicated to it so that we can raise money to help our less fortunate brothers and sisters around the world. They also give us an outline, so today's message is primarily what they have given us, with a little bit of Roger's input, but not much. So let's get started. I'll read the Bible passage that this is all based on. It's from Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you request food and feed you, and thought of thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of these, least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I love the word passionate. It's a great word, you know. You can be passionate about your football team, passionate about politics, passionate about your wife or your husband, passionate about a lot of stuff. But would it surprise you to know that the root of the word passionate comes from the Greek word pascho, which actually means suffer? We've all heard in Acts how Jesus suffered on the cross. Well, that word is passion. So Jesus' suffering was passion. And I would love for people today to be able to take away with them a passion for brothers and sisters who are suffering around the world. We need to suffer with them in some ways. Not necessarily through persecution. I don't really want to experience that, but I'm not sure what anyone else wants to do. Okay, so some fun facts. It's estimated that there are 2.4 billion, I was surprised by this by the way, 2.4 billion people in the world today who identify as Christians. 2.4 billion people. That's a lot of people. At least 240 million of them, or 1 in 10, are facing discrimination, hostility, oppression or outright persecution because they bear the name of Jesus. From Open Doors, I gleaned some interesting facts. From November 2017 to October 2018, 4,305 Christians were killed for their faith. 1,847 churches and other Christian buildings were attacked, and 3,150 believers were detained without trial, arrested, sentenced or imprisoned. So I'm going to throw out there that Christians have a duty of care for each other. We're called, hopefully that's right, yes, it's good, to minister to each other's needs, both spiritual and practical. Matthew 25, that chunk of scripture I just read at the start, contains teaching by Jesus about the last judgment. This includes the parable of the sheep and the goats, where the focus is on the importance of caring for our fellow Christians, which is in fact caring for the Lord himself. So who are Christ's little ones? The linchpin of this parable is verse 40, where the king explains to the mystified sheep when it was that they had shown him care that he was praising them for, when they had done to him whatever they had done for the least of his brothers. Other Bible translations speak of my people or members of my family, but the point is that the king says those who were helped were his. There goes my granddaughter. Some interpret this parable as the king looking at help given to anyone. But it's clear from Jesus' words, because I read them, that it's not what he means. He means in this parable that he's clear about looking after his own. It's not, yes, you can do good works. You can help out at the local Red Cross shop. You can help people with clothing and stuff like that. But really, Jesus is talking about us as brothers and sisters looking out for each other, caring for those within our own family who belong to us and to him. We're not on our own. Now, we're doing this not because we're individuals who want to do good works. No, because you want to look out for them. How many of you would actually say to your brother or sister, oh, that's okay, look, I'll pray for you while you're starving? No, don't do that. You'd help. You'd do what you could. The Greek word for brothers, I've got to pronounce this, is adelphoi, or literally meaning of the same womb. The church is a community based on a shared origin. There is a bond so strong that it unites those of us from different wombs as if we were all from the same womb. It's the unbreakable bond that holds together a family of Jesus. A bond that transcends race, class, colour, culture, tribe, ethnicity or nationality. The early Christians were so bound together that they were like a new race. Around 196 AD, a Christian from Edessa in modern Turkey wrote of the new race of us Christians, whom Christ at his coming planted in every country. Non-Christians also saw Christians as a separate race, neither part of the dominant pagan culture, nor Jews. Writing from the North Africa, Tertullian said that Christians were being talked of disparagingly as the third race. The beneficiaries of the help were not people of status, respected in the eyes of the world, quite the opposite. Various Bible translations call them from the least important, the least significant, the smallest, the humblest. They were lowly and despised. So what did the sheep do? This parable opens the way to glory to the simplest of people. For the help that the sheep gave were basic everyday care. Anyone could do it. The sheep were totally unaware of the significance of their actions. They did not expect praise. They did not even pat themselves on the back. And secretly, didn't bask in self-esteem. Their generosity was just love for their Christian family, shown in natural ways as opportunity arose. In response to Jesus' affirmation of their generosity, they asked how they had achieved this. Jesus responded with some simple examples. One, you gave me something to eat. Food is essential to life, and throughout the Bible, God feeds his people. The Garden of Eden was filled with fruit trees for Adam and Eve. Quails and manna appeared daily for the Israelites in the desert. A raven brought food for Elijah. Jesus knew hunger. He fasted in the wilderness before he began his ministry. Remember his 40 days out there? And as a travelling preacher, he must have often been hungry. When he fed the 5,000 who'd grown hungry as they listened to him all day, now these readings are in Mark, Matthew, the 4 and the 5,000. Now I read them. I was going to ask someone to actually read some of them out, but I don't think they're a bit too long, so I won't bother to do that. But in all of them, it's the same. They said we had no food. They took to him the loaves and the fishes. Jesus gave thanks, and then he distributed to the disciples to distribute to those outside. It's a bit like God gives to us so that we can give to others. You gave me something to drink. I thirst, said Jesus on the cross, John 19:28. An adult human body is about 60% water. Anyway, mine's probably a bit more fat than that. But anyway, and we need constantly to replace the water that is lost in normal bodily functions. Without water, we soon die. But water is also a symbol of spiritual life. Jesus gives living water, a spring that wells up to eternal life, John 4:10 to 14. A water that satisfies all our desires. But many of Christ's little ones today are thirsty. They lack clean drinking water. In Guinea, Muslims and followers of traditional African religions in some villages banned the Christian minority from using the village water source. But Barnabas Fund financed the cost of a well for the Christians in each village. The Christians had enough water for their needs and also shared water freely with those who had been persecuting them. What a great ministry. Martin's making some faces over there, but that's all right. You invited me in. Can't work it out. Refugees are some of the most vulnerable people in society. During his infant years, our Lord himself became a refugee in Egypt when Joseph and Mary took their little son and escaped from the murderous wrath of King Herod. He was homeless again during his years of ministry. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Indeed, Jesus' whole life on earth was a kind of homelessness, as his real home was in heaven. He came to dwell among us, but the Greek word indicates a temporary home like a movable tent. You clothed me. Jesus knew that it was what it was to be naked, for the victim of a Roman crucifixion did not wear a loincloth. Many persecuted Christians are in need of clothes. Those who flee from violent attack may reach safety with nothing but the clothes on their back. When Syrian Christians held hostage for months by Islamic State jihadists were released, Barnabas Fund gave them clothes, for they had only what they'd happened to be wearing when they were kidnapped. Beautiful clothes are a biblical way of portraying how God has covered our sin and shame. You looked after me. We don't know whether Jesus, truly human yet divine, was ever sick, but we do know that he would grow tired after long hours of ministry, that he sweated blood in the Garden of Gethsemane before his coming death. He was cruelly flogged, and that he endured on the cross not only the agony of the most painful execution method the Romans could devise, but also the crushing spiritual weight of the sins of the world. Jesus is our healer on earth. A touch of his robe brought health and wholeness. Three times he raised the dead. By his wounds we are healed of our sins. Isaiah 53:5. You came to visit. When Jesus was taken into custody, no one came to visit him. His friends and followers deserted him. They could have changed his situation. I couldn't have changed his situation, but they could have brought him comfort. But they, just by being there. The Apostle Paul often found himself in prison. How precious to him were the visits of his friends and family. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Through the centuries, many Christians have known what it is to be imprisoned for their faith, and it continues today. For example, in North Korea, China, and Iran. So how does it all end? In Jesus' parable, the people gathered before the throne will be separated by the king into two groups, sheep and goats. In some parts of the world, sheep and goats look very different from each other. But in the Middle East, and I didn't know this actually, they look quite similar. Did you know that goats and sheep look the same in the Middle East? Didn't know that. So it takes some skill to distinguish them. The king knows how to tell them apart, and he separates them, setting the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. He sends the goats away, depart them from me. First they are separated from the sheep, and then they are separated from the king. Theirs will be an eternity of suffering that cannot be reversed. The sheep, however, will enjoy eternal life in the kingdom, which the Father has prepared for them since the foundations of the world. Is Jesus preaching a doctrine of works? What do you reckon? Is he saying that we enter heaven because of good deeds? No. We've received God's free gift of eternal life in place of sin's wages of death. Our passing from death to life is expressed in love for our brothers and sisters. On the day of judgment, love for our fellow believers will be seen as evidence of our relationship with Jesus, who has enabled us to pass from death to life by his redeeming work on the cross. So what I'm asking of you today, as we pass the hat around, is to think of those less fortunate than yourself. Think of those people overseas who have no homes or no water or no food or no clothing, who are denied basic human comforts, I guess, in countries where it's not accepted to be a Christian. So I'm going to start the ball rolling by putting some cash in, and then I'm going to hand the hat around, and I want people to just dig deep if you can, but I don't want to run the guilt trip. Just give what you feel comfortable giving. Sorry? If you've got some. And if you haven't got anything, don't worry about it. It's fine. Sorry? Absolutely, Martin. Thank you very much for that. Yep. It is. Just leave it alone. Thank you. It's mine. But if you needed it, Callum, you could have it. I know. So while the hat's being passed around, I might just pray if I can. My boots are good too. The shoe fits, wear it, eh? Well, Father, we do want to give you thanks and praise that you do look out for all of us, that you freely give to us so that we can freely give to others. Lord, you've blessed us in a country where it's pretty easy, and we have a welfare system that takes care of those in need. But we do know, Father, that there are those overseas who don't do it so well, in countries where the majority religion frowns upon Christianity and would try and destroy it if they could. We know you're bigger than that, Father, and we know that your word always comes through. It never returns void. So we do pray, Father, for our brothers and sisters, and we pray also that the money that we raise today can be used to help those in need. May they be blessed, Father, by the blessings that you poured out upon us, so that we sort of give from our plenty so that they can have some. Thank you, Father, that you are as gracious to us as you are gracious to them. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, enjoy a cup of coffee.